We're in Psalms 37 today. At least that's going to be our text. We're going to move around at a number of scriptures today, but Psalms 37 is where we'll begin. I've been dealing the last few weeks with writing your name on the promises of God. I believe that it's important for us to latch hold of the promises, like old H.H. Booth said in his hymn, all the rivers of your grace I claim, upon every promise write my name. Amen. Let me write my name on the promises of God so that they are mine, my promises, so that they apply to me, my life, my situation. They're not just in the Bible to fill up space, you know. They're for us to believe and for us to hold on to and trust God to do what he said he would do. And we've looked at a number of the promises of God the last few weeks. Today we're going to look at God's promise to direct our steps, to guide us and direct us. Amen. Psalms 37 and verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I don't know about you, but you know, Psalms 37 is one of my favorite psalms. There's so many verses in here that I latch on to, like the very next verse, verse 25. I've been young. Yep, I was there. And now I'm old. Well, I'm older. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God always provides, doesn't he?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's what David said under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But how about this promise? The promise of divine direction. The steps, the way, the path of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The word means ordered, established, directed, guided. The Lord guides our steps.
Amen.
How important is that? I believe it's extremely important, and I find it very comforting that I'm not left to my own self.
Amen.
To just figure things out on my own. To just, you know, what should I do? What decision should I make? What choice do I make here? It's greatly comforting to the believer that we can trust the Lord, ask the Lord to direct our steps. Because let's face it, we all have choices and decisions that are very important.
Yeah. Amen.
Some of the decisions that you make, even when you're young, determine the rest of your life. A lot of times people don't realize you're 18 years old and you're making decisions that's going to affect you for the rest of your life. You know, like what career path are you going to follow? What study are you going to immerse yourself in? Even college choices or vocational choices. I mean, that's monumental choices for such a young person to have to make. And yet, we've all had to do it.
Amen.
And isn't it good if you're a believer that you can ask the Lord to direct your steps so that you choose right?
Amen.
And then sometimes there are things we just don't know what we should do. We've got situations that confront us, and we ask the Lord, Lord, what decision do I make here? Which path do I choose? I mean, it can be something as what you might think simple or mundane as having to replace your automobile, to something far more significant, like what do I do about this situation with a family member, a loved one, some matter that has to be addressed, and what direction do I take? We need God's direction.
Amen.
I know every day I'm asking the Lord, Lord, I need your wisdom here. I need you to direct my steps, direct my words. And I believe with all of my heart that God grants us the wisdom that we need. I mean, as our sister Diana mentioned today, you know, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is Counselor.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
He is our counselor. And when you call him, he never puts you on hold. You never get a busy signal. He's always there to guide and direct our steps. I want you to look at this verse with me a little bit because I believe it holds something significant for us when he says the steps of a good man are ordered, established, directed, guided, set, fixed by the Lord.
Amen.
Notice it says the steps of a good man. It doesn't say that the steps of the heathen or the wicked or the unrighteous are directed by the Lord. You know, the fact of the matter is that when we were heathen, lost, unsaved, our steps were directed by our own self-interests, our own whims and desires and passions and, you know, the way we reason things in our own mind or figured things out ourselves. That doesn't mean that there wasn't an underlying providence that preserved us in all of the crazy steps we made and the decisions we made. There was a providence, a divine providence that kept us and preserved us through some of our stupidity. And we can look back now and see that God was there. And that even in the stupid things we did or the wrong choices we made, the Lord not only was with us, he kept us from making disastrous mistakes that could have killed us or crippled us forever. But you notice it says it's the steps of a good man that are ordered by the Lord. Now, the good's in italics because that means it's not actually in the Hebrew text. The word there is actually strong. It's a strong man that is whose steps are ordered by the Lord. But the translators knew that strength there wasn't found in a person's own might or their own physique, but it was a person who was strong in the Lord,
Amen.
Settled in the Lord. So the translation is actually a good one. The steps of a good man
Amen.
Are ordered by the Lord. The problem is, who's good? Because the Bible tells us repeatedly that there's none good. There's none righteous, that all have gone after their own way. Passages like Romans chapter 3 make that very, very clear. Can I just read a couple of verses? I'm going to read them, but don't leave this text. You know, you can turn there with me if you like, but hold on to Psalms 37. But Romans 3 and verse 9 says, what then? Are we better than they? That is, are we better than others? Are we better than the Jews? Are we better than the heathen, the Gentiles? No, in no wise. I'm in Romans 3:9. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They have all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Not a single one. You know what? Even the good that we did as lost people, even the good that we thought we did, even our good was contaminated by evil. It was contaminated by self-interest. It was contaminated by wrong motivation. It was contaminated by human pride. It was polluted by our own self-righteousness. Even the good we did or that we thought we were doing was contaminated. That's why in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah said, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All the things that we hold up and say, I'm good. Wednesday night, we had a real good discussion on that very thing because we were talking about evangelism. And along with the conversation on evangelism is we got heckling from the crowd, you see.
Right.
So, and the heckling came across. One of it was a person what do you do to a person who says, well, I'm good. I'm a good person. You know, I don't kill people. I don't, you know, I'm good. Why do I need to repent of my sins, you know, and so forth? I'm good. The Bible, of course, says, no, you're not. We say we're good in our own eyes. A lot of times people think they're good. They hold up their merits. And you know what all of that is? Human pride. And you can list all the good things you do, and all those good things are contaminated. They're all polluted by your own pride, your own self-righteousness. You know, you look at me, you know, look at all the great things. I'm a wonderful person. And the Bible declares that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags because it's contaminated. Amen. Who wants to eat contaminated food? Nobody. I mean, it might be 95% pure, 95% good red beans and rice, but 5% arsenic. Better bless it before you eat it, then. Verse 13, I'm in Romans 3:13. He says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Wow. That doesn't describe us, right? Our mouth isn't like that, right? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. That's what's in their path. You heard of Johnny Appleseed? You know the old legend of Johnny Appleseed? Every place he went, he planted apple trees, apple seeds everywhere. Well, here's somebody, every place they go, they plant seeds of misery. Misery and destruction. Let's not be a person who leaves misery in our wake. The way of peace have they not known. The problem is there is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans 3:23 goes on to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, no matter what we've done, no matter how good we've been or we think we've been, we come short. Amen. We come short. We fall short of the glory of God. All of our righteousness as filthy rags. One of the things Brother Dave Prentice mentioned Wednesday night when we were talking about the gap between God and man, why we need the Lord. You know, Dave, he draws from all of his illustrations, and he used an illustration of the Grand Canyon. And he said, if God's on one side, we're on the other, how do we leap that chasm? How do we get all the way to God? So suppose you get a good running jump. How many of you ever saw the Grand Canyon? Ever visited? Stood on the rim of the Grand Canyon. At Grand Canyon Village, from one rim to the other, it's 6,000 feet straight down. That's more than a mile. It's 10 miles across. 10 miles, and that's not even the widest point. The widest point, the Grand Canyon, is 18 miles across. Now, suppose, though, you got a good running start. If you got a good running start, now you're going to leap across to God, you see, by your own righteousness. Okay? In the strength of your righteousness, the world record for running long jump, 29 feet. All right, so you still got 17 miles... Well, you know, if you do it at Grand Canyon Village, you only got 9 miles, and then all but, you know, those 29 feet, that is if you're an athlete. And here's the point, and I think it's a great point, amen, that even the best of us, the very best of us, amen, fall far, far short, yeah, yeah, of reaching God. Right. We need someone to bridge the gap between us and God, and that's what Christ did. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Because no matter how good a person you are or you think you are, you can say, oh, I say so many prayers a day, I kind to animals. I give to charity. I don't kill people. You know, they always use that. I don't kill people and I don't rob banks. You know, that's the two prerequisites, you know, make you good. No matter how good you are, you're not going to bridge that chasm. The chasm between us is God, and God is so much further than the gap across the Grand Canyon.
Amen.
But that's why Christ came. He bridged the gap. In Romans 3 and verse 24, the Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He may be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, as that might have sounded difficult, but let me tell you, it's very clear. Our only justification, righteousness, and hope is in Jesus Christ. And we receive that through faith, as he says here, through faith in his blood. Romans 3 and verse 25. Through faith in his blood. That is, we believe that what he did on Calvary saved us. It's not what we do that saves us. It's what he did that saves us. What do? We believe. That's our part. We believe. And then he goes on in verse 27. He says, where is boasting then? So how are you going to brag about you're a good person? How are you going to say, you know, I'm really good and I have all these merits so that I deserve heaven? No, he says, where is boasting? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That is, not by his own goodness. You're not made right with God because you're a good person, a nice person, because you comb your hair, or because you're always presentable when you go out in public. No.
Amen.
It's only by the blood of Jesus. He says in Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and to the end, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The idea and the point being that only Jesus can bridge that gap. You can't get to heaven on your own merits. Can't be saved by your own goodness. Can't be saved because you joined a church, because you were baptized, the Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, or any other organization, denomination, or institution. That won't save you.
Amen.
Your own personal faith in Christ, Christ saves you. You must believe. And the bottom line here is how we see ourselves. We might see ourselves as a pretty decent person. I'm a pretty good guy. I think God's going to let me into heaven. I would like to always bring your mind back to that illustration of you trying to jump across the Grand Canyon.
Amen.
That's you trying to get to heaven by your own goodness, by your own merits. You're not going to make it.
Amen.
Don't fall into that trap. Say, well, I think God will accept me because I'm a nice person. Because I've been a good religious boy, or because this or that, or whatever merit you want to hold up. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. You can't leap across the Grand Canyon.
No.
Only Christ can bring us to God. We need Jesus.
Amen.
You might see yourself as a really good person, but God sees you from different eyes.
Amen.
And then there are those of us who may think that we're the worst person in the world, that we are losers, miserable losers, and that we're not even fit to draw breath. You know, there's a lot of people who are in such despair and depression,
right,
that they really believe, I've made so many terrible mistakes, I've been such a failure, I've let everybody down, I'm worthless, my life is worthless, my future is I've got no future. I might as well end it all. Again, it's not how we see ourselves. It's how God sees us.
Amen.
And He sees us all as lost.
You're right.
And in need of Christ. But no matter what we've done or what we've been, if we will turn our eyes towards Jesus and believe on Him and ask Him to forgive us, He will forgive us one and all. And the proud man and the man who thinks he's worthless are all headed to the same destruction.
Amen. Yeah, true.
It's the man who has been humbled and broken and who calls out for mercy. That's the one who will find it.
Amen.
The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Doesn't matter if you're black or white, rich or poor,
right,
young or old, male or female, smart or illiterate. It's whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Shall be saved. Because you know the promises of God weren't given to just a select few.
Thank you, Lord.
They were given to all who would believe. Even this promise that we're using as our text today, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. It's good to know, if you've asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins, if you've, like we sang today, surrendered your all to Christ, I surrender all. You've surrendered your own excuses for not serving the Lord, your own self-justifications for why you don't need the Lord, why you're a good person, why you think you're going to make it on your own merits. You're not leaping the Grand Canyon.
Amen.
It's not going to happen. But if you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He and He alone bridges that gap between, He's the one mediator between God and man.
Amen.
And He provides for us access to the Father. Forgiveness of sin, mercies, and we get our name not only written in the book of life for all eternity, but we get to write our name on these promises, including this one, the steps of a good man, because goodness is not intrinsic. Goodness is imputed by faith in Christ. When you believe, God sees us through the righteousness of Christ. He is the one who makes us good. We're not good on our own. And then you can stand on this promise. Lord, you said you would guide my steps. He would help you. He will lead you. He will direct you.
Amen.
And we all have decisions to make, each and every one of us, all the time. Here's a great verse. You don't have to turn here, but listen to this one. This is another great one on God promising to direct our steps. But Psalms 48 and verse 14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." He's our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. And the idea here is all the days of our life. Every day, all the days of your life, He will be our God.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll show us the way to take, praise God. He'll lead us now. He'll lead us until the end of time. Many, many passages in the Bible promise divine direction. These are a couple of my favorites. One more of my favorites is Proverbs 3. I would like for you to turn over here with me if you would. Y'all awake, right?
Yeah.
All right, Proverbs 3. This is another great passage where God promises to direct our steps. He says, Proverbs 3, verse 5, we'll start here. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." We sing that sometimes. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding.
Amen.
You can't always figure things out on your own. Sometimes our own understanding is flawed because sometimes we go by our own reasoning, our own rationale. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. Can I read a couple of footnotes here? I want to read a couple of footnotes out of my Bible. I like these. It says, trusting in the Lord with all of our heart is the opposite of doubting God and His Word. Such trust is fundamental to our relationship with God and is based on the premise that He is trustworthy. As God's children, we can be assured that our Heavenly Father loves us and will faithfully care for us, guide us rightly, give us grace, and keep His promise. In the most difficult times of our lives, we can commit our way to the Lord and trust Him to work on our behalf. He says, and lean not unto your own understanding. I'm going to read the footnote here about what that is. Our own understanding is limited, fallible, and subject to error. It must therefore be enlightened by God's Word and led by the Holy Spirit. Rather than relying on our own judgment, we must pray for God's wisdom and will in all of our decisions and goals of life. We pray for His wisdom and His will. You know, His will is more important. Amen. And then in all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all of our plans, decisions, and activities, we should acknowledge God as Lord and His will as our supreme desire. Every day we must live in a close, trusting relationship with God, always looking to Him for direction by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. When we do this, God promises to direct our paths. He will lead us to His goal for our lives, remove all obstacles, and enable us to make the right choices. Amen. The good news, we're not left to ourselves. We can ask the Lord to direct our steps, and it's one of those promises that He delights to do. In all matters, great and small, He will direct your steps. He shall direct your paths. Amen. Jeremiah prayed in Jeremiah 10:23. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. He's acknowledging we need the Lord. We need the Lord to guide us rightly, because the choices we make impact us for the rest of our lives oftentimes. So how do we get this guidance? Maybe you can shake the eight ball and see what it says. Or consult the newspaper horoscope. You know, this is a lucky day for me. You know, the stars are aligned. It's a good day to make decisions. Or you can open a fortune cookie, see what it says, you know. No, you open your Bible. And you follow what God has already revealed. That's, be willing to follow what God's already said. That's number one. There's a lot of things we don't know for sure, but we have to ask God to get His direction. But there's a whole lot of things that He already has revealed, and things you don't even have to pray about because He has made it clear in His Word. The problem is so many Christians just aren't very well established in the Word of God, and that's why they come up with some of the bizarre things they do and think that the Lord is leading them to do things that the Lord's not leading them to do at all. I read not long ago of a pastor of a, it was in another country, but it was a large, very well-established and well-known church. And he announced to his congregation one day that the Lord told him to divorce his wife. Yeah. He said, the Lord told me to divorce my wife. Now, he'd been married for 20 years. They had three children, but he said the Lord told him. The Lord told him to divorce his wife and to marry that little girl that was sitting right up there in the front row. You know? So he announced to the church that he was going to be obedient to God and that that's what he was going to do. Now, does anybody see anything wrong with that? You all think that's a good idea? That's the way the Lord leads us and guides us and directs us? Because, you know, he was Bishop so-and-so, and he said the Lord told him. It would be good if people would just read their Bible sometimes, you know. Yeah, that's right. Somebody needs to read the Bible where God, Malachi, said he hates divorce. And we're told to love our wives and live joyfully with the wife of our youth all the days of our vanity, all the days of our life here on earth. Look, a lot of people hear a lot of voices. That don't mean it's God talking. The Bible speaks very clearly. There's so many goofy things people say and do that they think the Lord's telling them to do that... You could preserve yourself from a lot of hurt, harm, error, Amen. And stupidity. A lot of our injuries are self-inflicted, you know. Right. If people would just read the Bible, Amen. Listen to what the Bible's got to say. These pages tell us how to live our lives. They give us not only promises, but principles that we live by. They tell us that we, in all things, should be men and women of righteousness, of purity, moral purity, that we should keep our minds, our thoughts, our words all in line with God's will and God's word, that we should be honest, that we should be men and women of integrity, that we should work hard, have a good work ethic and earn a living, support ourselves and be a blessing to others. And just so many things you wouldn't have to pray these goofy things people pray. Like the person who said, you know, pray for me that the Lord will lead me to the right slot machine in the casino because I know one of them is hot and it's going to pay off big and I just need the Lord to lead me to the right one. You're asking for the wrong kind of direction. You need to go back to the Bible. See what the Bible says about earning a living honestly. In fact, we might have a little track back there that said gambling, a bad bet. I suggest you pick one up and take it home because, you know, gambling is not a Christian activity. It's just not a Christian activity. You know, Brother Rusty, you know, I'm asking the Lord to help me pick the right lottery numbers because if I can just win, and you know what? I'll give to the church if I do.
Right.
Might as well be like the guy who is praying for the Lord to show him which house to rob, you know. Show me which one. One where nobody's home because, you know, I don't want to shoot nobody. So lead me to, I'm a good person after all. I don't want to shoot nobody. So lead me to the right house that I can rob while nobody's there. Y'all think I'm making that up, huh? Yeah. If people would just read the Bible. Psalms 119, how about this? Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, the Bible will show us how to live, how to walk, how to act, which way to go if we would just read it and follow it. Oh, by the way, that pastor who said the Lord told him to divorce his wife, months later, you know, he filed for divorce. Months later, I guess the Lord must have changed his mind. This fella found out that little thing wasn't all that, you know, he thought. And so he's trying to reconcile with his wife now, who, you know, who's not too amenable to his... Yeah. Praise God. The rest of the story is they haven't reconciled. He's
Yep. Praise God. The things people get themselves into just because they don't follow biblical principles. Somebody always looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. Be acquainted with the book. Spend time with God's Word. Open it up every day. You know, we're about to start a brand new year. Here's my recommendation. In fact, I just exhort us all. You begin every day with the Scriptures. It's real easy to get in a routine of being in such a hurry. You got to hurry up, get up, get out of the house, get going. But get up a little bit earlier. Give yourself some time to get acquainted with the Scriptures. On your own, you and God, sit down, read God's Word. You can work your way through the whole Bible in a year if you want to. Follow the one-year Bible plan. But at least spend time every single day in God's Word. Just feed your spirit on the Word of God and be, you know, this is how primarily He leads us. Primarily, this is how He does it, through the Word. You learn biblical principles here that you can apply to the decisions you have to make, the choices you make. I mean, even jobs and careers, all of this, you know, the Bible talks about honesty. Being ethical, that is, whatever profession, job, career you pursue, if it's honest, if it's ethical, it provides a service and not a disservice, that's fine. It doesn't, money is not the most important thing. Don't let money be the most important thing. No, I want a job that just pays the most. That's not the most important thing. You can make a lot of money and be miserable at it. If you're outside of the will of God and the plan of God for your life. Or you can make less money, learn to be content, and serve the Lord joyfully, and look forward to going to work. A man who loves what he does doesn't go to work a single day in his life. I also do plan in the upcoming year to begin the new year with a new series of messages on getting our house in order. And something that David Wilkerson said many, many years ago just rang a responsive chord in my heart when he talked about how in the end times, how chaotic things would be. But he said one of the things the Lord told him that was very, very vitally important is that people, Christians, had to get their financial house in order. Amen. Because many Christians, just their finances are a mess. Living beyond their means. And that has, you know, just been in my heart for quite a while. So we're going to start with that in the new year, getting our financial house in order, being wise, living within your means, learning what biblical contentment is, learning the biblical principles regarding our money, our income, our stewardship. You know, if we can get our financial house in order, it's going to resolve a lot of conflict in the home and a lot of other problems that we face. So we're going to start the new year with that, but we're going to deal with getting our whole house in order. Remember what God told Hezekiah, you get your house in order because you are going to die. Get your house in order. So I believe in the shortness of the hour in which we live, we really need to get our house in order. Our spiritual house, our own life, you know, mentally, emotionally, and every other kind of way. So that's just ahead. But the point we're making here is that God will direct our steps in all the major decisions of life. And the Bible is primarily the way He does it. You open up the Bible and you learn the great principles that govern the decisions we make. There may be things that you don't find clearly stated in the Bible, like, you know, what career path do I choose? I mean, I don't really know. Well, the Bible doesn't tell you, you know, thou shalt be a shepherd or a mechanic or a plumber or whatever it may be. But, you know, there are principles you can apply. The Bible speaks about how we're to let the peace of God rule in our hearts.
Amen.
And the Bible speaks of the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. And so as you pray about a matter, maybe you're praying about what courses you're going to take, whether it's in school or what career path or what job or whatever. And as you pray about it, as you bathe that matter in prayer, you're committing it to the Lord, right? Because the most important thing should be for the believer, we want to do God's will. We want to know what God wants us to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? Not what I want, but what do you want me to do? And when we put the Lord first and we pray that way, Lord, you direct, you make clear to me what you want me to do, he will. And as you pray about these matters, you're either going to get a peace in your heart about it. You know, as you move in this direction, you're gonna experience God's peace in it. And that's kind of like the green light to go ahead. As you know, you let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You have a peace about it. Or as you pray about it, I believe if you're a spirit-filled Christian, you've got a sanctified consciousness and awareness, because you have put God first, you want him to be first, you want to do his will, he is going to lead you. And sometimes you'll take some steps in one direction, and while you may initially feel good about it, you take a step, you take another step, and suddenly you start getting this reluctance in your spirit, like a hesitation, almost like a caution light in your spirit. Now, instead of expectation and enthusiasm, now you feel this reluctance in this direction. You know, that's the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Sometimes he will speak verbally, audibly, or inwardly. Sometimes he'll speak in a big booming voice. Sometimes with circumstances that can't be denied. But other times, it's just that still, small voice of the Spirit. He's always going to require us to live by faith. Always. And even in receiving his direction, our faith is involved. Lord, I believe you're leading me in this way, so I'm going to take these steps. And as you take those steps, you will either have God's continuing peace in that direction and the go-ahead to proceed, or you're going to get just the opposite.
Amen.
You're going to get that reluctance in your spirit, a heaviness, an uncertainty. That's the caution light that's saying, not that way.
Amen.
At least, maybe not right now. Maybe that's a way he'll have you go, but not right now.
That's right.
And so it's a step or two back. Lord, the most important thing is that I am in your will.
Amen.
The most important thing is not that I make more money. More money is a nice thing. And I'm looking for more money, more income. The most important thing is that I am in the will of God.
Right.
Don't fall into the, you know, just the money trap.
Amen.
And do not be led by your own understanding. Because sometimes our understanding is flawed. And our understanding is skewed.
Right.
Because, you know, we're all the products of our upbringing. I was the product of my upbringing. I grew up in a very staunch Baptist home. That's the way we were brought up. And so my religious thinking, you know, was all through a Baptist mindset, which is not particularly bad, because I appreciate all the things that I learned. But I also remember at a time when I was a backslidden boy, I was a young man. We were married. We had kids. And the Lord was moving in our lives, convicting us. And my wife and her mother, they were visiting churches. They were on fire. Me, I was just a smoldering fire at the time. You know, just. But I do remember visiting a few places. And I remember visiting the first time I ever visited a real, what I would call a holy roller, charismatic, full gospel church.
Yeah.
And it, let's say it was outside of my comfort zone. I was definitely outside of my comfort zone because this, you know, this Baptist boy got in with a people whose hands were all straight up in the air. They weren't just singing, they were shouting. They were the most uninhibited worshipers I ever saw because, you know, when we worship, it's like this. Bless me, you know, praise God. But those guys, hands in the air, eyes closed, it's like, whoa, they are touching heaven and heaven's touching them. I was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Then they start speaking in tongues and you know, that, yeah, that was a wild crowd back then. Now, had I leaned to my own understanding, I would have left there and never gone back because I was not comfortable there. But I do believe my wife was praying for me. And there was something inside of me that just kept saying, you better pay attention here. Because what you're seeing here is this is these people love the Lord. And I couldn't deny, man, these people love the Lord and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. You get around them after church, all they wanted to talk about was the Lord.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen. There was something there that I did not have. Had I leaned to my own understanding? But because I was trying to think, well, here's what God, is God showing me these things? Well, by His grace, He enabled my eyes to open and I knew I needed what they had.
You're right. Amen. God is good. Always.
I needed God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I needed that counselor. And I need Him this very day, every step, every hour. Lord, I need Thee. Oh, how I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. You know, I also occasionally get questions, mostly from people outside of our area, will say, and I've heard other pastors say this, people will say, look, we're looking for a church home, we just don't know where to go, we're praying God will lead us and direct us. That's so many factors to be considered, you know, when you're finding a church home. What do you tell people when they're looking for a church home? Look for a place where Christ is exalted, where the Bible is preached, where the people love the Lord and love each other, where there's no manipulation going on. The last place you want to be is where you're being manipulated for anything, whether it's for your money or for whatever else. But I would just, you look for a place where the Holy Spirit is welcome, where His presence is welcome. You look for a place where you can worship uninhibited and unashamed. Look for a place where you'll be fed. And you know, there are biblical principles here too. You can apply so many principles, like the principles of Psalms 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
Amen.
I always believe that the Lord will lead His people to green pastures. He will lead you to a place where you will be well fed and watered by the Word of God. That you will be led where Christ is exalted and the most important thing, and not a personality or not somebody's ambition to build a temple for their glory. No, sir. No, ma'am. He will lead us. He will. You know the whole idea also of making us to lie down in green pastures? When sheep can lie down in a well-watered field where the food is good, when they lie down, it means because they feel safe. They are safe. They are at rest. They are at peace. I believe that when you are safe
in a flock, you just know it. You just know, I'm safe. I'm safe here. I'm safe from... Yeah. Of course, I always tell people, you check their statement of faith, but that don't mean a whole lot anymore. Because there's a lot of places that have a kosher statement of faith or a kosher doctrinal statement, and then they do the goofiest things. But anyway, the Holy Spirit will lead us. That's my point, right? The Holy Spirit will lead us. You take a step in that direction, the Lord will either give you peace or you'll have that check in your spirit. So, praise God. Here we are. We're back to our text. Psalms 37, verse 23. And verse 24. Don't you love the Lord? Praise God. He says, the steps of a good man or a good woman, the godly, the justified, the righteous, those who want to do God's will, are ordered by the Lord. That is, He will direct our steps. And He delighteth in His way. We delight in God's way. It's not a chore or a burden for us to do God's will. We want to know His will so we can do it. And He says, though he fall, he will not utterly be cast down. For the Lord holds him up with His hand. You know, we've all faltered and fallen and stumbled and tripped and bruised our knees and scuffed our elbows. We've all fallen. But like Proverbs 24 says, verse 16, a just man falls seven times and riseth up again. Fall down seven times, rise up eight. Just man falls seven times and rises up again. We may fall down, but we get back up by the grace of God. You may fall down again, you get back up by the grace of God. You fall down, you get back up by the grace of God. And even if you fall down and get up all the way to heaven, you keep getting up. By His grace. And He will direct our steps. As we trust Him with all of our heart and acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Father, we pray today that You will direct each of our steps. Lord, even among us now, there are those who have important decisions and choices to make. Lord, our desire is Your will be done. Even as our Savior prayed, not my will, but Thy will be done. Let Thy will be done in our lives. Lord, lead us in the way that we should go. Make clear to us Your perfect will for our lives. Help us, Lord, to be students of Your Word. Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst and a desire to know it, to read it, to understand it, that by it, Lord, by this lamp and this light unto our feet and to our steps, we might be guided perfectly. And Lord, let Your Holy Spirit speak to us. Let us hear Your Spirit speak to us, Lord. Let us hear, even when He speaks in that still, small voice, help us to be still. Help us to hear, Lord. Lord Jesus, let for each of us, let for each of us our desire be, Thy will be done with my life. And Lord, help us, as we sang today, to surrender our all to You. Our own will, our own desires, our own ambitions and goals and dreams and plans. Let all of that, Lord, be subject to Your will. And let us pray, Thy will be done. Amen. And Lord, we pray it all today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen.